back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
At 9:35, 25 minutes in front of 10 o'clock, and we head. Normally, we are live in studio, live in the County National Bank studio inside the McKibben Media Group World Headquarters in Summit Township. We're still live. That part of it has not changed, but we go to our newsmaker line, and we welcome to the program Barry Malik. It's the Barry edition of the County National Bank Show. Barry, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
So far, so good. Everything well in Barry's world.
Yeah, you know, things are going well. Happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone.
Oh, yeah. Same to you. Happy Thanksgiving.
I was so lucky, so fortunate to get a little tickle in my throat yesterday, feel a little dragged out, and then have a sore throat today. So, going into Thanksgiving, I really don't want that, but you know, I'm boning up on the zinc and the vitamin D and all that. So, yeah, I'm going to keep
taking the reactionary measures because you want to be able to enjoy Turkey Day. I get it. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I've been fortunate so far, so.
All right. But well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Barry. When it comes to the stuffing, do you prefer the stuffing from in the bird, or do you prefer outside of bird cavity stuffing?
Oh, I would probably say in the bird, gather some flavor.
Yes. I like the, you know how when you overstuff the bird and you get that stuffing cap on the outside?
Yeah.
That's the best part. The hard cap on the outside is the best stuffing on the planet.
That's your go-to.
That's my go-to. Everybody knows I get that stuffing.
Okay, save that for Mark.
Yes, it's the Mark stuffing. So, All right. Barry, anyway, we have the County National Bank Show, and I know you have your usual rundown of where things are, so let's go ahead and start there.
Yeah, let's jump in. As far as community, last Friday was the Lumen Christi annual dinner auction. Great event. Happy to attend that with some other C&B Bank people. Tony Baker was there. That's always a great event. And it's just a who's who. You see a lot of wonderful people. Also last Friday was the Jackson Christmas Parade. We had Beth Kuiper on last week from the DDA talking about that and some of the other activities and events of downtown Jackson. They also had Saturday Christmas in the city. Was downtown, so pretty great turnout from families, children. Window decorating contest is going on downtown through December 20th. And some of those windows are looking spectacular. And there is also a 12 Bars of Christmas at the bar crawl coming up on December 20th that starts at 12 p.m. So shout out to Beth. And was happy to have her on last week and all these wonderful downtown events. Some wonderful news for our friends at the Interfaith Shelter. Not only did they get a grant a couple of weeks ago approved from the state of Michigan, I believe that was for $1 million, but we just got some wonderful news. Talked to Steve Castle, and they got the news that the Federal Home Loan Bank has approved $1 million grant, which is really a forgivable loan. And County National Bank is so honored and fortunate to partner with them in this grant forgivable loan. And so wonderful work that's been done there, and a lot of answers to prayer and the hard work. So excited for them. Those funds are going toward their housing project, which is to add additional housing so that they can have adequate separate housing for families, men versus women, families with children. Some good work going on there. I want to jump into the economics and the markets. It was a tough week, the last week, for the markets. The Dow was down 1.85%. Year-to-date return is at positive 10.35%. The S&P 500 was down 1.91% last week. And for year-to-date, up 13.54%. The NASDAQ was down 2.71% last week. And the year-to-date is 16.04%. The MSCI World Index, excluding U.S., so just the international, down 3.13 last week, and year-to-date up 24.45. The MSCI Emerging Market Index was down 3.71 last week, but year-to-date is up 27.2%. Looking at the bond side, the Bloomberg U.S. Aggregate Bond Index is last week it gained almost a half a percent, 0.45, and year-to-date, it is up 7.05. Switching to the alternative investments, looking at gold. Gold lost last week as well, 0.36%. However, year-to-date, it's still up 54.47. And then Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency, last week lost 10.6%. And year-to-date is negative 9.66%. Going out 12 months, it's negative 14%. So, interesting when you get these themes, these trends that are all the rage. They tend to build a bubble and then have a correction. And some people are concerned about that with artificial intelligence and some of the Magnificent Seven type of companies. So interesting to look at and to watch and study. Looking at the interest rates, the yield curve continues to be slightly historically no longer inverted, but increasing long term. The 6 month is 3.76 on the Treasury, 3.76%. The 2 year, 3.51, so a little bit of inversion there, and from the short to intermediate. And then on the 10 year, 4.06. So just a slight increase from the short end. 3.76 going out to 4.06 on the 10-year from the 2-year to 6 months to the 10-year. Crude oil, 58.31 a barrel, and a year ago that was at 70.49. So big decrease there in the cost of a barrel of crude oil. And then the price of gold per ounce currently is at $4,079. If we jump over and we look at, kind of dig into the market a little bit more, the S&P 500, what's been the losers or detractors, and what's been the gainers as far as economic sectors? Well, consumer discretionary lost 3.25% last week. Year to date, consumer discretionary is down 0.1%. And if you look at, information technology and communication services, those have been the ones that have been up big for the year. Although information technology lost 4.69 last week, it's up 19.22 year to date. And then communication services actually gained last week, 3.04. And that's up the biggest, at 27.38 for the year to date. Economic numbers, the civilian unemployment rate as of the end of September stands at 4.4% compared to July of this year, which was at 4.2%. So a slight uptick there. And then cost of living, CPI, Consumer Price Index, that the inflation rate is at 3% as of the end of September. And looking back to July, that was at 2.7%. So that's a rundown of the markets and the economy. What I'd like to do is get back into something we discussed a little over a month ago, and then we had some guests on, but getting back into investment management methodology, looking at managing investments in the approach that we take here at County National Bank with our partners at Dimensional Funds, Dimensional Fund Advisors. And as I covered at that time, just a quick recap, active management has been the traditional way of managing investments, and then indexing gained footing 30 to 40 years ago and increased in its popularity. and that is more of a passive approach rather than trying to beat the market, just buy the market, buy the index, because historically active management has not consistently beat the indexes that it tried to do. It can for a period of time, but it hasn't been consistent. Well, our approach with Dimensional is structured investing. And just a recap of what that is, it's kind of a blend of indexing and active management. So it's taking the best of both. Indexing, we assume that markets are efficient. We don't try to beat the markets. But are there ways we can add some active management over that to add some value and improve our returns? So with structured investing, characteristics are it gains insight about markets and returns through academic research and security prices. Structures portfolios along the dimensions of expected returns from public information and prices. It adds value by integrating research, portfolio structure, and implementation. It increases returns through portfolio design, implementation, and security lending. And it minimizes transaction costs through highly engineered global trading capabilities. And so I'm going to cover some of the dimensions, the academic dimensions in a moment, but if we look at structured investing as an overview or an overlay, it starts out with accepting that markets are efficient. And that goes back to looking at 80 years of market data and insights and just the progress is from Dr. Harry Markowitz in 1952 when he won a Nobel Prize for efficient market theory, efficient frontier, modern portfolio management. And what we've gained from that through the years, turning investing from more of a speculation and a guessing game to a science. And we move on then from the accepting market efficiencies to focusing on the four dimensions of higher returns. I'm going to dig into those in a moment. And then effectively diversifying. That's key. You got to have effective diversification. And then customizing your portfolio. And then the last thing is exercising patience and discipline to let your specific investment policy do its work. So if we move on, some of the things that we're looking at here and why we focus in on structured investing is and not strictly active management is because the numbers don't support active management. When you look at the efficiency of the markets and how things historically with the data work, we find that for stocks, when you have 2,758 beginning mutual funds, 20 years later, only 23% of those mutual funds survived. And that was a big example for that. There was a fund called the Net Fund back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And that fund invested in the theme, the rage all about the internet and the information superhighway. Unfortunately, that fund quickly went away when that bubble burst. So only 23% of stock funds survived over 20 years. And then with bonds, it's even worse. Out of 1,843 beginning mutual funds for bonds, only 10% survived 20 years later. So that is kind of what you're looking at when you look at active management and the various themes and the various speculation and conjecture of thematic investing with those. So our view is to let the markets work for you. The markets are efficient. Information flows so quickly and so freely that it's impossible to get ahead of that. So when we look at the markets, we're looking at treasury bills. We're looking at long-term government bonds. We're looking at corporate or business bonds. And then we're looking at large cap, large company, like the S&P 500 indexes. And then we're also looking at small cap. And when we look at this, we see that there is a premium for certain things, such as equities. Equity stocks give a long-term historic premium in return over bonds and safer alternatives, and the average returns tend to be higher. Well, then you take that up a step further, and you see small companies, small cap, such as the Russell 2000, that has a premium that it pays, that it gives a bigger, higher average return than larger companies such as the S&P 500. So when we look at these four academic dimensions in our investment methodology and discipline, first of all, we start out with investing in stocks. Stocks have higher expected returns and risk than fixed income. Investors with time horizons of less than 5 years should consider minimizing or avoiding investing in common stocks. But the reality is, over longer periods of time, stocks outperform bonds. And we see that the market beating T-bills, the stock market beating T-bills over a one-year period, 70% of the time, over a five-year period, 78% of the time, and over a 10-year period, 85% of the time. When we go to the second dimension, we look at emphasizing value companies. And so we see lower price value stocks have higher expected returns and risk than higher price growth stocks. And so if you look at the time returns over 1 year, value beat growth 60% of the time, over a five-year time horizon, 74% of the time, and over a 10-year time horizon, 83% of the time. And then we take that a step further with the third dimension. We emphasize small company stocks. So when you look at small companies, they have a higher expected return and higher risk than large company stocks. But the average return, when we talk about higher returns, this is average over periods of time. So small companies beat large companies over a one-year period 57% of the time, over a five-year period 63% of the time, and over 10 years 73% of the time. And so to recap this before we hit the fourth one, the equities beat T-bills, value beats growth, small companies beat large companies, and the number four, emphasizing high profitability companies. Companies that produce higher returns on equity have historically outperformed, and higher returns in their profitability have historically outperformed. And to a lot of people, that might seem like not even worth mentioning because it's a no-brainer, but it gets back to what I had talked about earlier when we get in these thematic rage, these hypes that the market gets in that build these bubbles. And we saw that with the dot-coms. We're seeing some of that now with AI, artificial intelligence, where people will invest in something just because it's the hot theme right now. It's the latest and greatest. But they're thinking, well, you know what? It's in this industry. It's this type of company. I could throw a dart and make money. And for a while, that might hold true. But the reality is those industries, those areas, those themes that eventually end up consolidating, and the more efficient companies don't survive, the ones that aren't profitable that people will buy because they're in that industry. But many times you look at the numbers, they're just not profitable. And if they are profitable, they're not very efficient. So when we look at high profitability companies beating low profitability over a one-year time horizon, 67% of the time, looking at 5 years, they beat 85% of the time. In over 10 years, a whopping 99% of the time, profitable companies beat, highly profitable companies beat low profitability companies. So when we look at that and we go back to what I had mentioned earlier, we accept the market efficiency. The markets work for us. We focus on these four themes of dimensions for higher returns. And these are highly academic dimensions. Our partners at DFA, that firm was started by Nobel laureates and PhDs. And all the people on their investment policy committee are those academics that are PhDs, Nobel laureates. And so that is what's driving these decisions in investment management. Where we apply this to the individual, whether it be a company or a nonprofit or an individual person who's investing their money, what we're doing is we're trying to figure out where they should be with some profiling, screening, questionnaires, where they should be along the spectrum of asset allocation. And so someone who has a short time horizon or is very averse to volatility or risk, they're going to be on the lower spectrum of that horizon. They're going to be more bonds, sometimes 100% bonds, sometimes 80-60% bonds. But someone who has a longer time horizon and has more of an appetite or a stomach for volatility, and we measure volatility or risk just by standard deviation from the average, so average returns. So when we look at this, you're going to be somewhere along this continuum of conservative asset allocation to moderate to aggressive based on your particular situation, tailored for your needs and objectives. And, you know, it's important to remember that time horizon is so important in any of this. And, you know, when I stress to people preparing for retirement, or when I'm talking to a 401k sponsor and their employees, you know, the younger you are, you have time on your side. Take advantage of that time because you can afford to be more aggressive, and even the smaller amount of money you put in is going to snowball over time to have a greater effect for you. When Barry, we talk about...
Let me jump in real quick, Barry, before we run out of time here. If our listeners have questions, if they want to learn more, what's the best way to get a hold of you and to start their planning, or at least have you can look at what they have and make some tweaks from there? What's the best way, Barry?
Yeah, best way, Mark, is going to be to give me a call, 517-768-0043. And you can also reach me by the website. Is my email and my phone number are out there. And thanks for jumping in. I lost track of the time here. So, yeah,
you're fine.
Time slips away.
No, hey, when you're having fun, it goes fast. Well, Barry, you have yourself a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll talk with you again here real soon, okay?
Thanks, Mark. Happy Thanksgiving.
This is AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.